Message. Alfalfa's in trouble. How many of you used to watch The Little Rascals? A lot of you. Me too. Yes, The Little Rascals. Of course, that's a much newer edition of it. Well, you'll want to get your outline out of your program so that you can follow along with today's message. In 1949, a man by the name of John Currier was found guilty of murder. He was sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. In 1968, nearly 20 years after his sentence, Currier's sentence was terminated, and a letter bearing the good news of his freedom was sent to him. But unfortunately for him, Currier never saw the letter, nor was he told anything about it. Life on that farm was hard and without promise for the future. Yet, John Currier kept doing what he was told to do, even after the farmer that he had worked for had died. 10 years went by. Finally, a state patrol officer learned about Currier's plight, found him, and told him that his sentence had been terminated 10 years ago. He was a free man. Now, if you had been John Currier, would it matter to you that someone had sent you this very, very important message? Perhaps the most important sentence, a message of your life? Year after year, it was never delivered. Well, we who have heard the good news, the message of the gospel, we are responsible to proclaim it to others so that others might hear about it and receive the salvation that Christ offers to us. Because there are many people around us every day who have yet to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Are we doing all that we can do to bring that message to these folks? Today is part 6 in our series, Lost and Found, a series prepping us for the EACH campaign that will launch on Easter Sunday, April 24th, and go for 40 days. EACH, of course, stands for Everyone a Chance to Hear. EACH is a coalition of now 426 Christian organizations and churches. 426. Last time I reported to you, it was about 400. Now there are 426 organizations and churches that have joined together to pray and to plan and proclaim the story of Jesus to our lost neighbors. We've learned that God lost something, and he wants it back. And today, we're learning about the actual story itself that we have been commissioned to proclaim, the message. Last week, we learned about the power of story. We heard Brenda's story about how Christ changed her life, turned her around, and transformed her. But today, we're learning about the story, the greatest story ever told. The title of today's message is The Message. John Currier's story reminds us that we have a message of supreme importance. And there are imprisoned people that have yet to hear it and understand it. Imprisoned in sin and purposelessness and despair and vain pursuits, We have this message, and we need to tell it. We need to share it effectively. So it all boiled down into our main idea. The one thing you should remember, if you forget everything that else that I say, and if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. Bring the message to the lost so they can be found. We're going to look at two imperatives today. Two imperatives about the message. And you'll see that they're noted there on your outline. The first one is know the message. Very simply, know the message. Have you ever had that frustrating experience of opening up an email message that you've been waiting for? And when you do, it says, please see the attached document for the very important message. But when you look up to click the attachment, there's no attachment. Have you ever had that happen to you? I think we all have. And so, of course, what do? You hit reply and you say, you forgot the attachment. Well, too often, pastors and evangelists and radio and TV preachers and gospel tracts and just regular Christians every day, they tell unbelievers their story. They tell them that they need to know that God loves them. They need to admit that they're sinners. They need to repent. They need to trust Christ. They need to ask Jesus into their heart. But with all that said, they miss the most important part. They forget the attached document with the message itself. The message is not ask Jesus into your heart. That's a description of how to receive the message, but it's not the message itself. The message is not be saved. The message is a very important set of propositions, a story that has been told ever since the very first apostles. And many are confused on what the actual message is. We find it here in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 6. And those of you who are at the first service, we talked somewhat about this verse. When we come to the yellow print, that's your cue to read along out loud with me. The Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "Let me remind you now, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news." Euangelion is the Greek word that Paul uses here. It's the word often translated gospel. It simply means good news. The good news that I preached to you before. It is this good news, notice, that saves you. If you continue to believe the message, that's how you receive it, that's how you apply it to your life, that I told you. Verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Now, I'd like you to notice some very important elements, particulars about this passage. So I'm just going to ask the slide runner to leave that slide up there for a few moments. First, note that the message is called the good news, the gospel. This is the central message of Christianity. Secondly, as we already noted, it's this message that saves you. You got to have this in order to know God. Number three, you must believe and continue believing this message to be saved. Note, fourthly, it says, and I've underlined the words up here in verse 3, that Paul passed on what to others what was passed on to him. The Greek words that Paul uses here are words for passing on sacred tradition, a formal transmission of sacred information. The words are in a special form using Aramaic-like phraseology, indicating that Paul is most likely quoting from a creed or a message that is structured to be memorized and passed along. In other words, even though Paul himself saw the risen Jesus with his own eyes, he is reciting here the creed that the original apostles and Christians in Jerusalem recited and passed along to others. Now, before the days of printing presses and copy machines, this is how you preserved and passed along extremely important information. In other words, Paul is telling the Corinthians that this is the basic message of salvation that he and the original 12 apostles of Jesus preached. Note next that it's Christ who died for our sins. Who is Christ? Hint, it's not Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. The earliest confession of the church is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That's the Old Testament word Lord for Yahweh, for God himself. In other words, he is both God and man. And so it's important that we make clear Jesus' identity here. Notice that it says Christ died for our sins. This is a crucial part of the message. When we deliver the message of the good news, we need to explain that Jesus died in our place. He was your substitute. He was taking the punishment that you deserved and I deserved for our sins so that we wouldn't have to take that punishment. This is crucial. Next, it says that he was buried. Now, why is this mentioned? Buried. Well, of course, burial is something that you do to a corpse. The next line says that he was raised from the dead. What was it that was raised? Well, it was the same thing that was buried. This is very important. You see, some people back then, and even nowadays, taught and had this idea that the resurrection of Jesus was sort of a spiritual thing, that Jesus was raised in their hearts, that Jesus maybe came back in some sort of a vision to them, or in some sort of a hallucination or something. But that is not what this is claiming. This is claiming that what they put in the ground, what they put in the tomb, was raised. The resurrection refers to something that happened to Jesus' corpse. Jesus' resurrection means that he bodily came back from the dead, not just spiritually, not just metaphorically or symbolically. His buried body came back to life. And the tomb was empty. And his body was transformed, never to die again. He still has that body. And the Bible says he's going to come back one day. And we're going to see him again. And so let's look at the crucial elements of this message. First, we noted Jesus' identity, that he is Christ the Lord. That's very important. Secondly, that Christ died for our sins. Jesus' atoning death has to be understood, and that we have a problem that necessitated that death for us, and that is our sinfulness. Next, the third element, Christ was raised bodily from the dead. The corpse that was buried was raised. And then finally, number four, you must believe this message to be saved. Paul said that very clearly in that passage. Now, this is the message that we are called by God to bring to people who don't know Christ. Of course, we need to couch it in a context of kindness and consistency and unconditional love and friendship. That's hugely important. But don't forget the message. Someone has said, maybe you've heard this expression, preach the gospel to all and use words if necessary. Have you ever heard that? That's kind of a popular saying. The idea is that you need to practice what you preach. Amen? You need to walk the message, not just talk the message. If you live like the devil, people are not going to listen to you as though you're an angel. We've all got the right to speak, but we have to earn the right to be heard. And we earn that right by living what we believe, being consistent, to preach the gospel. This is very important. Yes, all of this is crucial. All of this is important. But let's not forget the message itself. To preach the gospel, words are necessary because it's a certain body of information. Just living the Christian life is not enough. Important as all that is, to show that we're not hypocrites, it's not enough. Don't forget the all-important attachment, the message, the message, the message that saves. You've been learning to tell your story, your testimony, how you became a believer in Jesus, how he transformed your life. We listened to Brenda's testimony last week, and we've listened to others, and we've talked about how to form that testimony and how to communicate that. We're learning about boiling it down into a two-word story, something that can be communicated very, very simply and will get people interested, so they ask us about it. That's wonderful. That's useful. That's great. But let's not forget the message. Amen? Let's not forget the story, the greatest story ever told, because his story is the story that saves. The gospel message. Don't forget the attachment. Which brings us to the second imperative on your outline. Point number two, share the message. Share it. Now, this is where most of us get real nervous. How do I bring up the topic? Where do I start? Well, the best place to start is with prayer. Ask God to present opportunities to you in your conversations with your friends and relatives who don't know Jesus. Ask for boldness as you take those opportunities, and then go for it. Just go for it. Like that Nike commercial, just do it. Just do it. Next, it's often helpful to use a good opening question. When you're in the middle of a conversation with someone and maybe you're kind of inching things in the direction of spiritual matters, one of my favorite opening questions goes like this. When you stand before God, and he asks you, why should I let you into heaven? What will you say? I love that question because it really makes a person think. I've had a lot of people say to me, oh, that's a great question. I've never thought about that before. I usually say, well, hey, it's about time you did, huh? Now, if the person answers, well, you know, I guess I would say I've always been a good person. I guess I'll say, you know, I've tried to obey you the best I can. I'm as good as the next guy. I've tried to do the right thing, or something like that. If the person says something along those lines, you know that the person is depending on his good works for his salvation rather than on Christ, and that is a lost person, a person who doesn't know and hasn't received the message of salvation. That's when you could say, would you mind if I show you something that I've learned from the Bible, something that's really helped me? And that's when you reach for a notepad and a pen or a pencil. You should have one at hand. Actually, there are several great methods for presenting the good news. Maybe you've used some of them or heard of them. There's the four spiritual laws. There's the way of the master that we've talked about and used here and our youth is learning about. There's Romans Road and many others. And God has used those methods. But today, I'm going to show you the simplest one that I know. It's the one I've used the most to lead a person to Jesus. And it's very simple. You can do it. It's called the bridge. All you need is a piece of paper and a pencil. Please turn your outline over where you will find a blank page. I want to show you how easy it is to draw the bridge and to share the gospel with a person. Now, Chris Bordeaux is going to come out. He's going to be my Vanna. And do some drawing. He's, of course, our associate pastor. And you may not know that Chris had it before he became a Christian. He had it as his dream and his goal to be a cartoonist. And he was on a path to pursue that goal, to go out and become a cartoonist at the Disney Studios. But instead, he's here. We've got him. All right? And today, you're going to have you're going to have the opportunity to draw along with Chris, okay? So, first, on the top half of your page, you want to leave the bottom half empty for now. On the top half of the page, draw two cliffs that are opposite each other with a big space in between. On the left cliff, draw a stick person. Anybody can do that, even me. You don't have to be a cartoonist, all right? And you say to your friend, this represents you and everyone else. On the opposite cliff, write the word God. And underneath God on his cliff, you write the word holy. God is totally holy and good and just. But under the stick person, you write sinful. All of us are sinners because we do things that violate his commands. We do things like lie. Anyone here never lied? I don't see any halos out there, Seth. You're lying. We do things like lust, steal, hate. We do things like use God's name as a cuss word. That's called blasphemy. We do things like put other things in the place where only God belongs. That's called idolatry. It's called idols. And so all of those things are our sinfulness. So in the big space between the two cliffs, write sin, S-I-N, vertically. And then you say, sin is what separates you and the world and humanity from God. And at the bottom of the big space, write the word hell, or you might even draw some flames down there, all right? Now, hell is not just, you know, some sort of a cuss word or something. It's a real place that Jesus himself described. And so you say, hell is the eternal death that we have earned because of our sins. And so you say to the person at this point, wouldn't you agree that this is bad news? Almost everybody will say, well, yeah, duh, yeah. And then you say, well, brace yourself because it gets worse. There's nothing you can do to bridge this gap between you and God. And then you draw some incomplete bridges across the space to represent things like good deeds or religious practices that we might do in order to somehow earn salvation from God. Now, let's think back to the crucial elements that we discussed a few moments ago. How much of that have we communicated? So far, we've only communicated our sins. But that's a very, very important part. It's the whole reason that we need a Savior. And so ask your friend, do you understand this? Before you go any further, do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Not necessarily agree, but do you understand? And if the person says yes, you say, well, do you see the desperate problem that we have here? And if that person recognizes that, then you move on. Now, on the bottom half of the page, and we'll flip the board over, on the bottom half of the page, you draw a second set of opposite cliffs. Same thing, stick person on the left side and God on the right side. Then you say something like this, since we can't come over to God through our own efforts, God decided to come to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is both God and man. And then you write the word Jesus across the big gap there. Jesus is the bridge between us and God. Jesus is both God and man. Now, what crucial element of the gospel message is this we talked about? Jesus' ID, remember that? That's an important thing. Then, using the first S in the word Jesus, write the word downward vertically, sin. You now have a bridge across from man to God in the general shape of a cross. Now, why sin? Because Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself. When he died on the cross, he paid the penalty so that we wouldn't have to. And you might draw the word sin going downward toward hell to say Jesus took our hell upon himself. Jesus died for you, he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead. Your sins have already been punished by a substitute, by somebody who loves you, by Jesus. And then again, you ask the person, do you understand this? Does this make sense to you? Now, what crucial elements have we communicated so far? Jesus died for our sins. He arose bodily from the dead. That's the gospel message. Congratulations. You have shared the gospel message. Now, I want to ask you to share with three someones. Share this message with three someones. First, with yourself this week. Just practice drawing this and pretending that somebody is there listening to you. That's the first someone. The second someone is a believer, somebody who's already accepted the message and is kind of a friendly listener who can sit in for the lost person. And then thirdly, the third someone is a lost person during the 40-day campaign or sooner. All right? Now, to do this from start to finish, it'll take about 2 minutes or so. Don't get bogged down in a lot of detail, a lot of explanation. You want to keep your communication of this succinct and fairly brief. Now, of course, your friend might have questions, and that could take a little longer. You want to make sure that you clarify anything that needs clarification before you move on. You make sure the person understands what you have shared, but stay on message. You say, okay, well, that's it. No, you're not done yet. There's one very important thing that you still need to do, and that is pop the question. You need to pop the question. You need to invite the person to cross the bridge. You picture this by drawing an arrow across from the stick person to God, taking that bridge across. And there's one verse that I would encourage you to memorize, just one Bible verse that you memorize when you share this. It's from John 5, verse 24. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." Passed from death into life. This verse explains that for a person to be saved, he has to cross the bridge. How does a person cross the bridge? Jesus says that it's not enough to simply hear or listen to the message. That's important because you got to know what the message is. But then he says you need to believe. You need to believe in the one who sent me. The person needs to believe the message and the person who sent it. Now, to believe means to trust in, to rely on, to depend on. Just like this guy, when he crosses this bridge, he's going to depend his weight on it. He's going to lean himself. And if this bridge fails him, well, he's gone because he's putting all his eggs in this basket, if you will, called Jesus. He's depending everything on him. And so it's not enough to simply know the message and believe it intellectually. No, you have to cross over that bridge from death to life. You need to take a step of faith and entrust all your weight, all of your life to Jesus to save you. And then there's that closing question, popping the question. It goes like this. This is just my suggestion. Are you ready to trust in Jesus now? Excuse me, as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you ready to do that? Now just think. If you explain this to somebody and you ask that question, you have shared the gospel message with that person. And you've offered them the salvation that Christ died on the cross for. If that person says, yes, I would like to do that, you can lead that person in a very simple prayer that might go something like this. Lord, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I can't save myself. But I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn away from it. Because I know you died for me. And you rose from the dead. And I want to put my trust in you as my personal Lord and Savior. This is the bridge. It's a simple way to share the message of the gospel with a lost person and hopefully lead that person to Jesus. Now, remember your homework. Share the bridge with three people, all right? Yourself, just to practice, a believer, and then during the 40-day each campaign or before, an unbeliever. Practice, practice, practice. We need to mobilize to do this. Remember our main idea. Bring the message to the lost so they can be found. Remember John Currier toiling away on that farm all those years after that letter had been sent, ending his sentence? You and I, we know many John Curriers, only in a much more desperate situation. They're not just in some earthly confinement or prison. They're imprisoned in sin, whether they realize it or not. And without hope, without God in their lives, without Christ, they're headed for an eternal destiny apart from Him. And yet God loves them, and He sent His Son to die for them so that they could have forgiveness of sins. You and I have this message. We need to bring it with love to lost people. And so let's not sit on the message. Let's not be afraid of what people will think of us. Let's share that message with the love of Christ to others. We're going to conclude our service here in just a moment or so. We're going to ask the ushers to come for today's offering. And our musicians are going to come up and give us a closing song that they've been practicing. But before we do that, I just want to say, maybe you're here today and you're wondering, have I ever crossed over from death to life? Have I ever made that step of faith? Have I trusted in Christ as my Savior, or have I just always assumed that, yeah, okay, I'm probably good enough? If there's any doubt in your mind, or if you have some questions, and maybe you'd like to talk with somebody about it, maybe something set up here today really bothered you, disturbed you, and, you know, you'd like to get some clarification, you'd like to debate with somebody, well, come on up here. We got some people up here, Ron and Mary, they'll be down here, and they're up here every week to counsel with you and pray with you if you need that. Do that. This is the most important decision of your life. Don't just go out and go to lunch without dealing with it. It's too important. It's too significant. Make that decision today to trust in Christ. Or maybe you came with somebody today who invited you. Talk with that person. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the salvation that you give to us. We don't deserve it, but thank you that you care so much about us and that you want us to fellowship with you for all eternity. Help us, Lord, to go out with this message to others, to share the good news with lost neighbors and friends and relatives who don't know Jesus yet, so that they might come to know Him and be saved. Father, I pray that you'd use this offering today to help continue your work in this dark world. We pray in Jesus' name, your blessing. Amen.